Amen, amen. You may have your seats on this beautiful Sunday morning. We welcome everyone that is here this morning. A lot of people are sick right now, and so stay washing your hands. Amen. You know, I want to welcome all those online as well for tuning in here this beautiful Sunday morning. Amen. I'm grateful for what the Lord is doing. He's moving. He's speaking. There's people responding. And things that the Lord gave me many years ago are all coming to pass right now. And we're just a few steps away now from, you know, Him really doing what He's always wanted to do. And not just because of the property we have, but people lining their lives with the Lord and responding to the call of the Lord upon their lives. Amen. So I'm excited here this day, and I believe the Lord has a word for each and every one of us here on this day. So I would pray that you would stay focused. Amen. Wake up your neighbor if he's already fallen asleep. Amen. It's hard. It's hard to get the clear instructions of the Lord half out of it. Amen. You can't do it. You can hear what I'm saying, but you ain't listening. Amen. But when we get to the house, we want everybody to listen to us. Amen. So do what you got to do to wake up right now to be able to hear what the Lord has for your life. Amen. Been sharing on getting involved in the church. You know, and it starts off by coming to church, being saved. Amen. But eventually, you should desire to be used of the Lord and used within the church, within your life. That should take place, amen. But the title of this morning's message is Everybody Goes Through Changes, amen. Everybody goes through changes, and even your pastor does. There's no way around going through changes, amen. In this illustration here, we show a man, you know, kind of, you know, stressed out, you know, and it shows arrows coming out of his thinking, out of his life. And some of the arrows are tired. Amen. Being tired can put you through changes, can make you go through changes. Amen. Scared is one of the arrows going from his thinking. Failure, distress, headache, numb, nervous, fear, depression, lonely. And here we see all these thoughts of this man, amen, that is going through changes. He's going through changes, amen. That's everybody here this morning, those viewing online, those saved, those that are still lost and bound. This is what it looks like. Amen. But I pray, see, this picture was found real quick. Had Janie get it off online, and she just went and got it. You know, you just clicked on somebody thinking, somebody stressing, boom. But it doesn't, she had a, after I was cruising on the way to church, and I got a thought, and I said, I'm going to let her use the same picture, the same man stressing out, but something different taking place in this other man. So give me the second picture, please. Same man again. But the arrows are no longer leaving his life of stress, failure, fear, loneliness. But now the arrows are coming to his mind, to his thinking. Thoughts of prayer, thoughts of God, thoughts of the Word, Scriptures, Jesus, the church service. So, you know, the arrows will always be leaving our lives, you know, what we're thinking, what we're going through, the changes. That happens to all of us. But it don't end there. See, in the morning before I came here, I had all these arrows that are shown right there coming to my life in preparing the word for each and every one of us here this day. See, without prayer, if you had a pastor that don't pray, give me the first picture, back to the first picture. Behind the scene, this is really be my message. of loneliness, fear, scared, depression. And I could play it off with scripture. But this is what you would really be getting from my life. And just by simple thoughts with the Lord, give me the second picture, please. After praying, after getting God's word, and after studying, amen, I'm able to come now to the church with arrows that are going to come from my life now. See, there'll always be arrows coming towards you and leaving your life. And because I got with the Lord in my thought life, in prayer, in word, amen, dealing with the church service, I'm able now to give you arrows that pertain to the will of God for your life. Amen? That are able to transform and change your life. And it's very important what's coming in, because whatever's coming in is going to go out of our lives. Whatever we allow to flow in through our thinking will eventually come out through our actions, through our words. So it's very important. The changes that we're going through are very important here this day. Amen? As we open up with scripture here, found in the book of Psalms, chapter 100, verses 4 and 5. And the Bible reads, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise, give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, his unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." How many know that at times it's hard to enter the gates with thanksgiving, to enter his courts with praise? Even though the Lord is good, stay on verse 5, even though the Lord is good, the Bible says, for the Lord is good. And even though his unfailing love, amen, how many have loved and failed through your love or love received from your life? But even though his unfailing love continues to come to your life and my life when we're missing it, when we're like that first picture, amen, we're stressed out. I need the first picture, please. His love continues to come, amen. His unfailing love, even when we're stressed out and we're having all these thoughts, amen, of inadequacies taking place within our lives, his love continues, his unfailing love continues to come to us. And that, as we go to verse 5, not only to us, but it goes and continues to each generation. In other words, for our children, our children's children. This is how good the Lord is. And he wants to make himself available to your life, in my life, in our thought process. Because we all go through changes. We all go through changes. There's no way around going through changes. One reason that we're constantly... The reason we go through these changes is because we're constantly changing. Or better said, going through it on a daily basis. I don't care how, right on the right side of the bed you woke up this morning. You're having a good start. There's some changes that you're going through right now. There's no way around them. You're going to go through changes. There's no way around it. Amen. So we're going to have to be a people of God that knows how to work through the never-ending changes that we're going to go through in growing up and being married and having children, having to go to work, pay the bills. This takes every person through changes. I have a question here this morning. It's a real simple one. How many have ever gone through changes? How many have gone through changes for the worse? I mean, it got worse and worse and worse and worse. You were going through changes. But how many as well have gone through changes for doing the right thing, becoming better and better? Both going through changes for doing the wrong things and going through changes for doing the right things. I put here, both are hard and challenge the flesh. It's just not making the wrong decisions that challenges your flesh. Making the right decisions will challenge your flesh as well. The only thing that is different is the outcome. But there's sometimes I'm so blessed that I'm hard timing going through it. Because I'm blessed and I have a lot of responsibilities that I gotta take care of on a daily basis, 7 days a week, 24/7. I always say that the blessings of the Lord come with a lot of responsibilities that will put you through changes. And that's why we always say, be careful what you pray for, because you just might get it. The joy of the Lord, I put here, is not always based on feeling good. The joy of the Lord is not always based on feeling good. Being happy all the time. There's no such thing. The joy of the Lord is not always based on feeling good or always being happy. It's an inner truth based on faith. It's an inner truth based on faith. That's why we got to be so careful not to go off based off of feelings. Because doing the right things will have you stressing out. Making the right moves will have you stressing out. Does it mean you're doing bad? No. It's just sometimes doing the right thing is going to put your life in pressure. There's going to be pressure taking place within your life. So the joy of the Lord is not always based on feeling good or being happy. See, you got to get that in your discipline, in your training, that you can be in victory not feeling happy. You can have the total victory not feeling happy all the time. Alberto and Brother Jason Johnson here are the next pastors in the making right now. And you would think because they're the next pastors in the making that they should be feeling good all the time, happy all the time. If you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, and your face will truly show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Stomp your feet. All right, I'm going to stop.
That was to wake up some sleepers in the house. Amen. Yay. All right. They're back to smiling again. I got them back. A fish back on the hook. A little song we used to sing. Everybody sang it. If you're happy, and they would go, oh, you have to memorize it all. And then, amen? It was like Father Abraham. See, most of you guys will know the song Father Abraham. But if you were in the rehab back in the days like I was, you would know that song. Amen? But Alberto being the next one of the next ministers along with Jason Johnson in the making right now, clearly says every time he comes and speaks, ever since he moved into the house, the pastor producing house, amen, he was going through it. I was counseling him every day throughout the day. He said that he's a missionary now, all the way from Cudahy, Wisconsin, to West Allis, Wisconsin. He always wanted to be a missionary. Amen. And that he says within 3 months, he said it, what he learned here, passed up his college and being an accountant and all his working of 15 years in the bank, that all those things within 3 months being here at the Potter's house, where the Lord shapes and molds a man's life, a woman's life, a young adult's life to his will. But even though he's got the best outcome in the 3 months, so he's got about 6 living in the house now, it took the me time out of there, and he got the greatest results by going through it the most he's ever gone through it in his life. He wasn't feeling happy. Amen. He wasn't feeling happy. He wasn't feeling good. But what was being produced in and through his life came by being under pressure, by not being happy, but not feeling good all the time. See, the problem is we got too many Christians gauging their happiness on how they feel. Brother Jason always humbly says, every preaching he comes up here, he will say something like, I may not like everything I got to go through in the position I'm in right now, but I know it's God's will for my life. When you break that down, he's saying, I may not be feeling good all the time, being happy all the time, but I know I'm in God's perfect will. Too many base, whether they're doing good or God's being good to their life, by how they feel. And it's a misinterpretation to the inner truth within your life where Christ does his best work. And that's why our walk is one of faith and not of sight. So you possibly could be bummed out this morning and right in line with the Lord. Possibly. You could be bummed out because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. We're in the holiday season right now of Happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas. Have a happy Merry Christmas. And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year's! Happy, 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 happy. How many know that's not always the truth? not always the truth. When your pastor smiles at you and says, it's good morning, it's not always the truth. Let me take a drink of water. Does not mean I don't have the victory. But I'm not going to allow what I'm going through to come out of my face in the way I speak to you. Because it's something God's doing in my life. It's my battle. I'm not going to take it out on you based on the way I feel. Amen? Point. What makes us happy? Happy, happy, happy. What makes us happy don't always make the Lord happy. Real simple message today, simple thoughts. What makes us happy don't always make the Lord happy. The flip side to that is, that's what makes us happy, don't always make the Lord happy. The flip side is, what makes the Lord happy don't always make us happy. What makes the Lord happy don't always make us happy. Because what makes Him happy for our life will put us through changes. And many people are trying to have peace and don't want to go through changes. So remember, what makes us happy, not you happy, us. I'm including myself. What makes us happy don't always make the Lord happy. And on the flip side, what makes the Lord happy don't always make us happy. I put here in my notes, it's okay to not always be happy. It's okay to not always be happy. You don't always have to be happy to always have the victory. Do you think Jesus was happy when he had to go to the cross? Do you think Jesus was happy when he was in the garden? He asked the Lord three times, can we do this some other way? But he still had the victory because not my will, thy will came out of his life. You see, so there's sometimes that the will of the Father will not be something that makes you and I happy. There's some things that you got to work for, work through in order to accomplish. Amen? It's okay to not always be happy. My pastor, Pastor Herb, he would joke around once in a while, like with me in the car on the side, but usually he would be walking around like this all the time. And for many years, nobody wanted to tell him, but everybody always thought he wasn't happy, that he was mad. And I understand the look today. I try to give you my best smiles, but at my house, my wife's got to deal with me. My children, because I have a Pastor Herb look almost 90% of the time at my house. When I'm with the Lord, I have a serious look on my face, and my wife will go by when I'm with the Lord and ask me a question. I'll go, yeah, okay. Man, you're not even listening to me. Yeah, okay, all right, okay. And she gets mad thinking I'm mad at her, but I'm with the Lord. And to me, being with the Lord is a serious thing. It's not a happy, happy thing. And there's times that I was speaking to two individuals today in the time of prayer. They were talking, they were happy, they're having communication and stuff, but there's a time and a place for everything. There's a time to be happy. There's a time to shout for the Green Bay Packers and the time that they don't give us a reason to shout for the Green Bay Packers. But it fits. But if somebody was to stand up and start hooting and hollering for the Green Bay Packers right now, it doesn't fit. So at the house, even walking around our property out there when I'm with the chickens know I carry a serious face all the time. The turkeys, before they got taken out, knew I was a serious farmer. I was a serious farmer. That last look I gave them before I got them. I wasn't there coming, this is going to be happy for you turkeys. Come into the courts with Thanksgiving. When I see people joking around all the time, there's a problem. When I see a man or a woman or a young adult happy just all the time, laughing and just always the conversation dealing with joking and joking and joking and joking, there's a problem. Because when the Lord is in one's life, a man's life, a woman's life, a young adult's life, your life, your walk, your countenance, your demeanor, all of a sudden becomes one that is serious. And yes, you can laugh and yes, you can joke around. All those things are good. But if it's taking place all the time, it's a big red flag of immaturity. Immaturity. It's okay to not always be happy. You get it? It's okay to not always be happy. That's not a measuring stick to success or victory. Some of the most successful people are real quiet people. The baddest gang members, the true gang members that I've known over the years, are real quiet ones. They don't talk much. Don't say much. Don't let a bad day of going through changes bring you down. Because not only do you not have to be happy all the time, you don't always have to be having a good day all the time to have the victory. Don't let a bad day of going through changes bring you down. And my point to that is, it just might be a change that God is using to lift you up. The change you're going through right now that's bringing you down might be the change that the Lord is using to lift you up. But if you base your walk in life on your feelings, if you're feeling down, you're down. That's it. Don't talk to me. Leave me the heck alone. Talk to the hand. I know that's an old one. I don't care. I don't want to do it. I don't care what the pastor says. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it. I'm in my feelings right now, Pastor, okay? Okay, you understand? I'm in my feelings right now. Is it okay for being in my feelings? Yeah, but keep going forward. I'm okay with you being in your feelings, but I'm not okay with you shutting down. It just might be feeling, it might just be you feeling down, the one God is using to lift you up. Two main thieves that rob our joy. The first one, it's a very familiar one, a very popular one. It might be the most popular one. Amen? The most popular thief that robs your joy is self. Amen? Self is the number one thief. He'll pickpocket you every time. It's a, what they call an inside job. But I don't want to highlight The first one called self, amen. Self represents a man or a woman, a young adult, not growing in the things of the Lord like they should. That's self. See, when you're growing in the things of the Lord like you should, self slowly but surely will get weaker and weaker and weaker. Amen? The Bible says, I decrease, the Lord increases. But too many times, Christians deal with self year after year after year after year because they're not growing in the Lord as they should be. See, when you grow in the Lord as you should be, self eventually will die off. So, because as long as self is alive, you will always measure your success, your victories, in how you feel. Because self goes totally off of feelings. Self does not go off of the word of the Lord. Self does not walk by faith. Self goes by feelings. Pastor hasn't talked to me. He's always talking to everybody else, but he don't talk. That's self. Get over it. I ain't got nothing to do with that. The pastor would only work with me, well, then I would be able to be the next pastor up to and live in the house, the potter's house. You can't get past self. You ain't going to make it in the potter's house. The potter's house ain't a place of being happy and feeling good all the time. It's the exact opposite. It's where a man and a woman is crushed to bring the anointing out of their life. The second one, second thief that robs our joy is others. That one I'm going to talk about. The subject of others. I put in my notes, you got to get wise because others will always be there coming against you whether they know they are or don't. See, marriage is one of those things that sometimes the spouse don't know they're coming against you. Sometimes they do, and they do it purposely. Amen? The kids, sometimes they do it not knowingly, you know, and sometimes they do it on purpose. Dealing with others, number one of the two I got here, that thief that robs our joy. And my answer to this one is simple, but you got to get past self in order to operate. And this point I'm going to give you, I put here, sometimes you just got to let them win. Amen. Okay, love, you got it. You got it. You got it. You got it before you say it. You got it. You got it. Let's go. And in my mind, saying this is the last place I want to go. This is the last place I want to be. You got it, love. There's an argument taking place. If you just got to win that argument, you're still operating in self. Oh, it's so easy to stop an argument before it even happens when you just let the other person win. You know what? I never saw it like, you're right. And you walk away, Lord, Father God, forgive me, the precious blood of the Lamb upon me right now. I repent unto you, Lord. Amen. Sometimes others get the best out of us, rob the joy out of our lives, and we blame it on him, we blame it on her, we blame it on the pastor. It's a thief that robs joy, others. If you allow them to rob you. And one way in doing it, it's just let them win. Let them win the argument. At church, my wife will say something in front of people, and I go, hey, man, love, I love you, I love you. And inside, I'm saying, wait till we get home. But that's inside, I say that. Inside. And nothing happens. And if I'm around my inner circle of people, I'll tell her what time it is in front of them because they know me and her very well. They're not going to, what? Pastor and Sister Marlene argue? We sure do. We sure do. But we get over it. We get over it. Sometimes if you want to deal with others effectively to keep the joy, just let them win the round. I always say it's who wins the fight. It lands on the last round of the fight. Amen? Let them have a few rounds. Let them win. But if you got to be right in every argument, you're still this big. You just can't let nobody win. You got to always be right all the time. So what's one way to allow others not to rob you of your joy? Let them win. But that takes humility. That takes walking away from situations. In Matthew 27:50, Jesus demonstrates it best. This is Jesus on the cross at his very end. One verse I'm just going to read to make a point. Jesus on the cross. Amen? It didn't look like a very victorious positioning he had on the cross, bleeding there besides two thieves. Amen? Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. He died. Amen? And in my notes, I put Jesus allowed Satan to win that day according to the way Satan saw victory. According to the way that Satan saw victory, Jesus allowed him to win on that day on the cross according to the way that Satan saw victory, which was the death and the end of the life of Jesus. But in Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6, the Bible reads, this is on the third day of the resurrection, amen. Then the angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified, killed, amen. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said he would happen. Come, see where his body was. Key word, was laying. So here, Jesus and the enemy, Jesus allowed him to win in the way he saw victory. See, sometimes you got to allow people to win because the way they see victory might be different from the way you see victory. And this is where arguments take place and people lose the joy of the Lord over something that someone else said from the perspective on the way they see it. I mean, even in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were all at the same place at different positionings, and they all told the stories a little bit different according to their perspective and to where they were at and the relationship they had with the Lord. Amen? If you want to have the joy of the Lord, sometimes you just got to let others win and keep the peace and keep on growing. Show maturity. Amen? Here Jesus allowed Satan to win according to the way he saw victory, his death. The true victory came on the third day. There's sometimes you're going to have to wait for the true victory. The true victory came on the third day, the way the Father saw it, which was his will. Too many times we lose our joy based on what others say when it has nothing to do with the Father's will. Because we're still trying to please people, look good in front of people, when it has nothing to do with the Father's will. I'm teaching my little boy lies that WWJD is for leaderships, for pastors. You know, the WWJD, it just needs, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And there's sometimes there might be some gray areas in your life that, man, do I go this way or do I go this way? And all you got to say is, what would Jesus do? And you get your answer instantly. It may not be what makes you happy, but the answer you'll get is what makes the Lord happy. We need to get to a place where we please the Lord. The good news I put here is greater when it comes on a bad day. I usually get calls where I got to counsel 90% of the time, the calls that come in. But then there's that 10%, Pastor, guess what? Tell me, what is it? Pastor needs some good news. Sometimes those that are close to me call me. I'll say, I don't want to hear no bad news. If you have only something good to say, I'll see you later, Pastor. There's just sometimes I'm dealing with others, dealing with self, dealing with the wife, the kids, and all the above. And if I know the person is close to me, I'll answer the phone without saying hello. All I'll say is, I don't want no bad news right now. Only if you have something good to say, I'll take this call. I'll talk to you later, Pastor. All right, bye. I have problems also. I go through it also. Amen? And it's good when you can tell it like it is to those that are close to you. But then the next one calls and I ain't too close to. Pastor, you got some time? Yeah, sure. What's going on? Pastor, man, you sure? You sure you got time? Yeah, man. You sure? Am I bothering you? No. Come on. What's going on? I'm here for you. Come on. When I just hung up on the other person that's close to me. I'm giving too much insight right now. Too much. Come back, Pastor. Come back. So the question is, are you one that I got to take the call or I can tell it like it is? The good news, that's what the gospel is called, the good news. Amen. I put here, the good news, God's word, is greater when it comes on a bad day. Right? You get a good health report. You get a new job, the one you wanted, finally. A phone call comes unexpectedly from someone you never thought you would ever talk to again. And they're actually saying they're sorry. Good news. You get a gift from somebody. A good gift. And it makes you happy. It's good news. And the best thing you can receive on a bad day, that we all received on a bad day, is salvation. When salvation came to my life was broken and all messed up. The good news, God's word, who God is, entered my life on a bad day. I'm here to let you know that it's okay to have a bad day when Jesus is in it. Jesus understands what it is to have a bad day. Jesus understands what it is to go without, to be rejected by those that were closest to him. Jesus understands what it is to have a bad day. Amen? So I'm going to give you a few scriptures here, and we're going to be done early today. Amen? All of a sudden, everybody's smiling and happy. Everybody's rejoicing because we're going to get out early. Is that what's going to make you happy? My God. I have on the top of my notes, be nice and encouraging. Just stick to the... I always put it up there. Even though I'm nice and encouraging all the time, I still got to put that reminder up there. Amen? I have some scriptures here to back up the message here this day. That even though we're going through changes, that's part of life. And if you're going through bad changes or good changes, They're both challenging to the flesh. It's not just going the wrong way that's challenging to the flesh and to one's life. Doing the right moves, I believe, is harder than making the wrong moves. But the blessings come with one and the curse comes with the other. Scriptures that when we're going through all these changes, that God remains the same. He don't trip on it. And he knows change is needed for us to grow. He knows that we got to be going through changes to constantly be trusting in him. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That don't mean he was nice to the early church, and he became mean because you showed up here today. The Bible says that he stays the same, that he is the same. What he was long ago, today, and forevermore. And even though we might be going through changes, he stays the same. He stays in control. And it's when we're going through changes that we lose control and that we should give it to the Lord. The next scripture is Numbers 23, verse 19. And the Bible says that God is not a man, so he does not lie. He's not human, so he does not change his mind. That means humans change their mind. I've been in the last month changed my mind. I don't know how many strategies I've changed this month. Because I'm a human. But it's for the best of the church. There's times that a shift will not come once in a while, but all the time. He's not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? He don't change. Isaiah 48. The grass withers and the flowers fade. They change. But the word of our God stands forever. Tells us some of you are getting more wrinkles. I don't care what lotion you purchase that's worth $1 million. I mean, it has promises that's going to keep you looking young. We're all changing. We're all getting older. Amen. But we should be getting wiser. Amen. And the last one is Psalms 102. Verses 25 through 27. The Bible reads, long ago you laid the foundation of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you remain forever. They will wear out like old clothing. You will change them like a garment and discard them. But you are always the same. You will live forever. And right now we're living in very unsure times. Uncertain times. Not just for the ones that are going the wrong way that are not saved. Amen. As the keyboard player makes his way up here. Amen. But even for the ones that are doing great right now, tomorrow is not promised, the Bible says. But the Lord is promises that he is always the same and you will live forever. We're living in times that are very uncertain, even for the obedient. And that's why we need the Lord just as much as those that are lost and bound in need of a Savior. Give me the first picture again, please. Everyone goes through changes as a man, and all these negative things is coming out of his life. Arrows flowing outward. Scared. Lonely. suicidal, fear. And I believe this is the condition a lot of you walked in. Under this condition, if we keep it 100. But I believe when you came in, you might have not entered the gates of the Lord, amen, with thanksgiving, into its courts with praise. But I believe now by hearing his word, you should be able to leave his courts and his gates with a better understanding that you don't have to be happy all the time to be victorious in the things of the Lord. It's okay to have a bad day. It's what makes a better day. Second picture. And I believe now some of you are leaving church with thoughts leaving your life, saying, I got to start praying. I got to get in the Word. I got to get involved in the church. I got to become a giver in the church. I got to be part of what God is doing in these end times that I'm living in. This is what's got to be in your mind, but this is what's got to be put into your life in the beginning of every day. The Word, prayer, time set apart for the Lord, for he can bring you his thoughts, the way he thinks, the way he sees things. And he's telling you, you don't have to be victorious all the time. I don't change. I'm always victorious. He's saying, you don't have to be perfect. He goes, for I am perfect. You don't have to be in control, for I'm in control right now. Even on your bad day, I'm in control. Even on your good day, you still need me to be in control. And we got to have these areas of prayer, God's word, and spending time alone with the Lord in our lives. If the thoughts that enter our mind are going to change according to God's will and God's purpose for your life and my life, this church, this city, this region, this world that we live in, as we stand on this beautiful day. And we were happy all the time and feeling good all the time, there would be no need for Jesus in our lives. There would be no need for the Lord, no need for a pastor. I could have stayed in Texas because of the bad day. Every time I'm in myself with a man or a woman, a young adult, and I'm talking to him, I'm there with my wife, and I'll say something like, man, I could still be in Texas right now if it wasn't for you messing up over here in Milwaukee. I had to leave my hometown. We're just going to have the keyboard right now, amen. I'm going to open up the altars right now. No, you know what? Just stay right there where you're at. Freeze frame. That way no one knows who's having a bad day. If you come under picture number one or picture number two, everybody looks innocent. Everybody stays where they're at. Amen. And I want you to start thinking of something right now that's going to change your thinking. What changes do you got to make to have godly thinking, godly perspective in the way God sees things? Nobody can do it for you. It's between you and the Lord. My pastor would always say that it's between you and the Lord. You can come and tell me and make it look like everything's going good and you're doing all the spiritual things you're supposed to be doing, but you know if you are or you're not. And all the scripture memorized in the world is not going to get you to where God wants you if there ain't a spiritual growth within your life. You can't do it. And in some way you work your way up to a position, you won't remain there. You'll be found out. We need to be spiritually strong to be victorious
according to God's will. Whatever it is right there in your mind. What change needs to be made? I do all my planning at night. I have notes. I have everything at night. Da, 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 da. So in the morning, I'm praying over them. I read and I try to match it up with God's word. But at night, I always have a notepad next to me, and I'm always writing points or things that got to be done in regards to the church, the school, maintenance, building, whatever. And all the above subjects, I write them all down. Then I prioritize them. Then in the morning I pray, and then I make all the calls I got to make to get all those things done. But my thinking's got to be right because I'm working with others, with people that are not always going to be having a good day. And I understand that today. But it's another thing to always be having a bad day because you walk based on feelings and happiness. Father, here this day, we thank you. We love you. We give you all the glory and all the honor, Lord. We thank you for your word that says you do not change. Though everything else does and everything will fade away, but your word, Lord. So it's very important here this day, Lord, that our life is tied in to your life. That our purpose, our will, be your purpose, your will. So when those hard times come, Lord Father God, we will be able to stand, and after standing, to stand some more. Because we're doing what is right, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I ask that you touch every man present here this day, every woman present here this day, every young adult present here this day, and all viewing online, that you're able to do your best work, bring the good news on a bad day. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. God bless you guys. Love you guys. Come on, let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Those viewing online, we love you. Invite somebody, see if you can make it next week. Love you guys. If anybody needs a session with me or my wife, we're here for you. Love you guys. Go in the peace of the Lord.